Good morning, Calvary. Let's pray. God, we love you. We bless you and we give you glory today. You're so amazing. Why you love us like you do, we will never fully understand. But today we just come to say thank you. Thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Thank you for this amazing pastor and these wonderful leaders. We pray, God, that you will be glorified in our time together. If we're too high, bring us down, but if we're too low, bring us up. If we're too far out, bring us in. Lord, let us live in the center of your will, and we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm really glad to be here. I don't know about this popular demand thing, but I'm glad to be here. And while they were singing, I don't know, I just got really, really nervous again. So if there are any of you who could pray for me, I'd really like that. Maybe it's because Pastor Bill isn't here. But he's such an amazing pastor and leader. And even though he's not here, could we give God praise for Pastor Bill Lamori? I thank God for him and for his friendship, for his brotherhood. And you guys are really blessed. I always say, you know how God thinks about you by who he puts over you. When you have a great leader, you know you've been blessed by God. It's Black History Month, so I thought I'd sing an old song. There are probably only about four of you here who remember a lady by the name of Mahalia Jackson, but she used to sing this song. She is to gospel music what Whitney Houston is to pop music. And so I'm going to sing this song. I am not as good as Mahalia Jackson, but I'm just singing. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody who is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can show somebody who is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. Amen. Okay, start the clock. Here we go. You guys know that this clock is intimidating for me. I'm going to give it the best I can and try to watch that clock. The only difference between a piece of black coal and a precious diamond is pressure. The process of pressure is making you priceless. Go through the process. Have you ever felt as if you were living in a space of disconnect while persistently trying to stay connected, a place where the pain seemingly outweighed the promise. Has the pain ever been so debilitating that you considered giving up on your purpose? Then I'd like to suggest that you've come to the right place today. That place is called process. And with God, nothing is wasted. And yet it's up to us to discern what is destiny and what is distraction without diluting the divine purpose that was foreordained before your parents first kissed. So Luke, the 9th chapter and the 16th verse says, Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. I love this story, and here's the short version. Jesus takes the 2 fish, 5 loaves, and he blesses it. Before he blessed it, he looked up, and he blessed it. Somebody please repeat after me and say, I'm blessed. But after he blessed it, he broke it. I'd like to suggest today that you can be blessed and broken. Just because you are broken, it does not mean that God's hand is not on your life. The Bible says he blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it. I like to suggest that in order for you to really be used by God, you're going to have to go through some things that literally break you and cause you to be given and used to other people. But the best part is the end, because after he blessed it and he broke it and he used it, then there was increase. You will always have more left over after you've given of yourself. Every single one of us has brokenness in our lives. It could be a relational brokenness. It could be spiritual brokenness, physical brokenness, financial brokenness, mental brokenness, emotional brokenness. But the amazing thing about God is that he takes broken things and makes them brand new. He takes the brokenness in our lives and actually uses it for the revelation of his kingdom. Now, I just want to give you a little bit of insight about me. My father was an alcoholic. He died when I was 12 years old. My mother had a rare blood disease. She went to the doctor, and the doctor told her to go home and to prepare to die within the next 6 months. That was 45 years ago. Isn't it interesting? You have a kid who has lost his father and now gets the news that his mother is about to die sometime within the next 6 months. So I'm always living on eggshells wondering, is this the day? I went to Rembrook School in West Hartford, Connecticut. I had some amazing friends there, some of my best friends to this very day. If I see them, it's like we never missed a beat. J.J. Dayhill and Star Collins and Jeff Rockwell and Bill Penny. I had some great professors who taught me things that I didn't want to learn. I had an administrator there, a guy by the name of Jim Bauer, who was the first person to speak into my life to tell me that I was better than I thought. I'd never heard someone tell me that I was better than I thought. And in the midst of all of that greatness, I encountered great racism. But my education set me apart. I didn't have a lot of friends at home, and I didn't have a lot of friends in the church where I grew up. As a matter of fact, I remember many times going home from church crying because they didn't like me. I went to Groton School in Groton, Massachusetts. It was a total culture shock. Went to Wesleyan University, became the senior class president. I graduated, got out of school, had money issues. Sure, I had a job, but I didn't have anybody to teach me about how to manage money. So I didn't pay taxes. Woo! Yes, Lord, they caught me. I didn't pay my student loans. Yes, Lord, they caught me. It all caught up to me. And then I was a young man in Hartford trying to lead in a place where I had grown up, the same street where I grew up. Now my student loan is finally paid off, and I paid off that tax bill. Thank you, Jesus. And now actually I teach money management to leaders and to other people in the neighborhood where I grew up. Not only that, I'm an author, all of that in the same neighborhood where I grew up, because with God, nothing is wasted. Fast forward. Proverbs, the 6th chapter and the 2nd verse says, "You are snared with the words of your mouth." You are snared. You are trapped with the words of your mouth. And so the question today is, where are you trapped? Do you feel stuck? Do you feel like where you are doesn't match what God told you? Then I'd like to give you this little lesson. Use your tongue to set yourself free from whatever situation is binding you. And don't stop saying it until you're trapped in victory and blessing. My whole world changed when I decided I wanted it to change and I spoke it. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 1st verse, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Your next level is going to cost you 3 sacrosanct tenets. It's going to cost great faith. It's going to cost uncomfortable feelings. And it's going to cost present tense passion. And let me see if I can work this out. The Gregorian calendar tells us that this is 2020. The Hebrew calendar tells us that this is year 5780. 5780 in the Hebrew calendar is the year to widen your mouth in wisdom or zip it shut. I think I want to say that again. This is the year, 2020 or 5780, to widen your mouth in wisdom or zip it shut. In 1 Chronicles 12 and 32, it says, "And if the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, if you're ever going to transition into your next and fully embrace the year of the open mouth, then it's going to take great faith." But here's the key. If you have the faith to speak and to grab the blessing, then you will need the strength to endure the burden of what you grabbed. It's going to take faith. It's going to take uncomfortable feelings. But listen, God will only promote you to the level of your tolerance of pain. He loves you too much to let you get caught out there. So if you are there, you can handle it. And if you can't handle it, then that's why you are where you are. Your haters are never doing better than you. You got to learn how to love people who do and say things that you don't like. Otherwise, you will stay stuck on their level. And if you're going to maintain your next level, you're going to have to learn how to friend up. Ask me why. When you friend up, you can learn from people above you without them being intimidated by you. People under you are there for you to bless them. If you see them as anything else, you have missed your assignment in their life. Purpose is not about a place. It's about your assignment. And so, my brothers and sisters, I need you to understand that God wants to use you. He wants to use you to change the world. But can I tell you that God can use you to change the world by allowing you to change one person? If you will bless somebody else, they could be the one who changes the world and says it was that person back there from Calvary Fellowship who spoke into my life and changed me forever. This is critical. Your standard of excellence has got to come from within you. When you are great and when there is greatness inside you, there's something about greatness that just cannot be hidden. And this is one of the things that I found out about God in 25 years of pastoring. He loved me enough to train me in the shadows, to train me in obscurity, to train me in poverty, to train me in Hartford. And can I tell you this? Excellence is within you, not around you. Excellence has less to do with your circumstances and more to do with your mindset. And it'll always work if you have the right pattern. But the painful training process is the launching pad for the greater. And to move from the training process to the next level that God has for you, it starts with opening your mouth. Repeat after me. I will not be destroyed by what people say. I will only be destroyed by what I say. Proverbs 6:2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Now, I'm about to say something that would be considered borderline heretical in today's world, but since I'm amongst believers, I'm going to go out on a limb. You don't need as much money as you need passion. Go ahead, throw the tomatoes. You don't need as much money as you need passion. You have a power in you that is greater than money. And when you live in that power, you have the ability to stand in your nothing and say, let there be and there will be. That's what God did. Go back and check it this week. Genesis 1. Verse 3, it says, and God said. Verse 6, and God said. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. Verse 24, and God said. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. When he made me in his image, he gave me the ability to speak things into existence. But then I must create and call what I speak. Can I tell you, as the people of God, we must remember that our world is created by what we allow to come out of our mouths. It's going to take great faith. It's going to take uncomfortable feelings. Hallelujah. It's going to take present tense passion. Look at this. In Luke, the first chapter, verse 46 and 47, it says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, we know the story of Mary, but just for those of you who might have missed the Christmas service. Angel comes from heaven. The angel Gabriel comes and says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Maybe Mary said, not me. I can't have a baby. I've never been with a man. And I'm engaged to a man. And if you tell Joseph that I'm pregnant and I have not been with Joseph, it's going to mess up my whole marriage. Everything is going to go crazy. Please, Mr. Angel, go talk to somebody else. She could have complained when this angel came and said to her, you're going to have a baby. She could have said, what are people going to say about me? She could have been afraid of the rejection, of their discussions, of the humiliation. She could have gotten stuck on her ignorance of knowing how to raise a baby, let alone being single. Or she could open her mouth and praise her way through. In the midst of what was seemingly an uncomfortable predicament, she chose to magnify the Lord. To magnify is to make bigger. And in the midst of life-changing moments, she allowed her soul to act accordingly. Your soul is a magnifier. It magnifies what you think about, your mind, your genuine desires, your will, and your feelings, which are your emotions. Could it be that your life hasn't reached its ultimate goal because of your misplaced priorities? 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. We want prosperity. We want money, but our souls are weak and limited and godless. We are visibly sick because of the invisible condition of our soul. A prospered soul will yield wealth and health and money and healing. And money and healing will be automatic if you have the right soul. What does your soul magnify? What does your soul say to the world about you? Galatians 6:7 says, Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Whatever you put into the universe is going to come back to you. Even if it's something that you deem is insignificant, it's still coming back. If you think it's small, it's coming back. Everything will be coming back to you. Everything. Can we go deeper? This includes your mental stimulation, your thoughts, your mind, your overall vibration, and the biggest one, your actions. Every single little thing that happened will be balanced out, and there should be no question about this. The interesting thing, or for some of us, the problematic thing about the law of sowing and reaping is that you never know when it's going to hit us. It could be the next second after we did it. I better not say that. I'm not at home. I'll change that one. Just sometimes we ought to thank God that there's some seeds that take a long time to grow up. Sowing and reaping is just a principle. That's why we must examine our actions and be discerning as often as possible. That way we will only do things that are for our highest good and don't make us reap the harvest of bad actions and any vibrations in the future. Now, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. What's my point? God dwells in eternity. We live in time. And since God made time for man, then when we get God's perspective, time is fleeting. Time is passing, and ultimately time is an illusion. The most real thing about our lives is right now. We're so tied down to the world time, wishing that we could do something to make it go faster or slower. But the only thing that exists is now. The future or the past, when they're being experienced by us, become the now. which is why it would be wise of us if we choose to spend the now the best way possible. Stop worrying so much about your future and forget about your past, because really the only thing you should be thinking about is now. Try to imagine the worst scenario that could happen to you now. What are they? Death, sickness, suffering, someone you love dying, divorce, or being afraid. When you are suffering, it will be pretty uncomfortable for a period of time, but nothing lasts forever. The uncomfortable condition will eventually pass, and your life will be brought to a whole new cycle. So in order to really be prosperous and have a prosperous soul, you must enjoy now the best way possible, because it will soon be replaced by another new now moment. Weather forecasters are great people. But if you spend all of your time worrying about the storms, then the storm takes a different path, or it dissipates altogether, you'll be upset for the time that you've wasted worrying about nothing. I refuse to spoil the good weather worrying about the storm. All I have is right now. Don't ruin your supposed to be good now moment with worrying about the future, let alone the past. So here it is, and I'm on my way back to Barber Street. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." When you maximize your now, you fully experience your journey every single day. You will find that that is something you will not regret. And that is the more abundant life that Jesus came for. And so I've come all the way from Hartford, Connecticut, to tell you that not just for 2020, but if you want the rest of your life to be better, you got to start saying it right now. You cannot wait for December, but you got to speak it now. And you got to manifest it forever. You got to be willing to say, "I am healed right now. I am delivered right now. I am whole right now. My marriage is going to work right now. My business is going to prosper right now. God is working things in my favor right now." You got to open up your mouth or zip it up. That's the question today. Are you ready to open up your mouth and speak the life that you want to live? Or are you going to continue to let the old language of your past put you in a place where you're always complaining about what's not working and what's not happening and who's not helping you? If God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you. He's given us this ability. And I'd like to suggest that this might be the season that we cut off people who only know how to talk about other people, and let's spend time talking about ideas. I think I'll say that again. I don't have time for people who only want to talk about other people. I want to talk to people who want to talk about ideas, talk about plans, talk about things that we want to see happen in the earth. And we're going to speak it now. We're going to walk in the ability that God gave us. God made us in his image. He spoke things into his existence, and we're going to do it. Can I tell you, it is up to us at Calvary where we want Calvary to go. If we want Calvary to be the biggest and the best and the greatest church on the East Coast, guess what? It starts with us saying it. Calvary is the biggest, the best, and the greatest church on the East Coast after the Citadel of Love. It's one church. I'm just cutting up. But do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's up to us to open our mouths and speak it. I refuse to not live the best life that God has. Being a Christian is not about everything that you can't do. It's so much more about who you are and what you can do. This year, the year of opening your mouth wide or zipping it shut. Watch what you say, but make sure what you say, you're ready to see. I'll close with this. I have a couple of people in my life who I'm not necessarily fond of. And I would say things like, she makes me sick. And I started to wonder how come every time I got around her, I started to feel a particular way. This is just honesty now. It wasn't until I changed my language that being in her presence did not annoy me. We have to learn this lesson, people of God, on every level. As long as everybody on your job gets on your nerves, you're going to have a rough day at work. But when you get in that car and you're on your way, say, this is going to be a great day. They're going to be great people. They're going to make me smile. And you keep saying it over and over again. I know it sounds crazy, but we're believers. And we believe crazy stuff. The world laughs at us all the time. But you got to get that thing. You are snared by the words of your mouth. And you are living where you are speaking. The joy of the Lord fills my soul. I have victory when I get up in the morning, and I got victory when I go to bed at night. All things are working for my good. See, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Where are you stuck today, and where do you plan to be stuck in the future? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because you've given us your word. Now today, Father, we pray that every single one of us would change our language and begin to speak with authority, knowing that you will back us up when we speak things that are in alignment with your will. We thank you for all that we had to go through and all of the pressure and the process. But we thank you for this moment in time and this lesson that gives us the courage to speak right now the life we want to live. And I thank you that passion in your people is coming alive in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.